I wouldn't be married to some of these women, man. Some of these older women in their 40s and 50s are terrible. But that's what's happened. The world has creeped into your minds and you've gone completely out of it. But what else is new? Not too much. In like manner, Jesus died on the cross one time. He shed his blood for his bride. It is written, you are bought with a price in 1 Corinthians 6:20. He found the price that he paid to be very great. As he said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. In Luke 22:42. The death of Jesus paid the full price for the purchase of his bride. So do you see the correlation? There is no biblical warrant for a continuing sacrifice. Those who teach such doctrines are greatly deceived and are not following the Bible. For it is written, by his own blood, he has entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. We see that in Hebrews 9:12. Don't worry, I'll let you know why I'm coming there. So Christ once offered to bear the sins of many, Hebrews 9:28. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, Hebrews 10:12. Dowry that you give your wife is a one-time dowry. You don't keep having to pay. Remember when the basketball player Kobe Bryant went out on his wife? I think they said he bought her a $4 million ring. That wasn't necessary. What he should have said is, I've sinned against God first. I've sinned against you second. I've sinned against my children. And then he should have asked her, can you ever take me and keep me and hold me? Not another sacrifice. Now, let's talk about what happens before you get married and before one gets married. And we'll talk about, this is just the first piece that I'm putting together here. Let's talk about them being engaged and not married. Well, an engagement usually means that a ring is given to the woman, not to the man. He only wears the wedding band when he's married. And let me say this, too many times I run into married men and they are not wearing their wedding band. And I'm talking about young men in their 30s. They will not wear their wedding bands. Jesus. I still have mine on. I'm feeling it. Every day I feel this wedding band on me. And the love that I had for my lovely, lovely wife, I might say. She may not be lovely to you. She ain't supposed to be. You didn't marry her. You around here looking at Halle Berry, and that ain't loveliness. I'm sorry, that's filth, brothers. When you're looking at some of these singing stars, and that's filth. That's the world. If she was with a black man, she married him, right? Dumped him, said that he was a sexual addict or something like that, and married a white boy. Well, what would she think he is? He's a whoremonger. But, you know, we don't want to talk about that because that's Halle Berry, right? Man, I'd love to be with her. Oh, God, if I had her. Oh, God, what? Which one are you talking to? An engagement ring is given. It is a time that the couple should get to know each other, but not physically through sexuality. Now, I believe that they need to know each other physically. You need to hug the person. You need to kiss the person. You need to see if you like smelling the person. Because if they have bad breath, you need to tell them to take a cert. If they are overweight and when you get married, you got to carry her over the threshold. You don't want to have to use a forklift. I'm just serious. Especially if you're a young couple. But it's a time of, it's a time for testing for the engaged woman to see if she will be faithful as well as testing the man. Engagements are made to be broken, you know. You find out that the booger's not going to be true to you. You need to break off before you go too far. That's what the engagement period is. Now, Lucy and I know we didn't have a long engagement period. I'd never been in love with nobody. She was my first love. I'd never been in love. And it wasn't puppy love or infatuation and stuff like that. I knew that I wanted to have babies with this woman and care for her. Look at her, smile at her, hold her in my arms. I knew that. So, it's to see if the person is going to be faithful, just as the children of Israel were tested as they wandered out in the wilderness. You want to find out if certain rules are going to be followed. The Word of God gives us these guidelines. Should the engaged woman, a man, turn to another man or another woman and not continue to be waiting faithfully when she has broken the engagement? Well, if she breaks the engagement, you know what she's called, right? If he's broken the engagement, he's called an adulteress. Now let's look at this. They're engaged to be married. I recall once a guy was engaged to this woman. He'd given her a lot of little things, sayings of marriage, and I love you, darling, and all that kind of stuff. And man, wait a minute. The woman's parents talked her out of marrying him. They saw something that I didn't see, that I should have seen. That it wasn't the kind of person that they wanted their daughter to marry. And I got to tell you the truth. I think that it was a wise move. I really do. It was a wise move. I was too blinded by my affection for the young man to want him to go in a particular direction. I should have listened to the other young lady's parents and said, what was it? Now, it was devastating to the man, but one thing that the young lady did is she broke the engagement off because she saw something that she knew that she would not be able to deal with. Now, just like we say yes to the invitation that Jesus gives us, it is a time of testing. Jesus went away to prepare a place for his bride. We call that our honeymoon mansion. The bride is waiting. The bride gets to know Jesus through his word and through prayer. And through this means, Jesus gets to know us. His bride is waiting for him. As we go through the various situations, he observes how we respond to them. What does he do as our groom? He helps us. We place our full trust in him. We know that he's going to return to take us to heaven one day. We do not have a physically intimate relationship with Jesus at this time. Neither is a man and his prospective bride supposed to come together as a husband and wife, even though the dowry has been paid, because no marriage has yet taken place. You see, you've got to see the parallels of the Bible in marriage. Let me continue. Together, as husband and wife, even though the dowry has been paid and no marriage has taken place, Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit as a deposit. That's the engagement ring, if you will. We are to occupy until he comes. Now, let me read a scripture to you. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, that is, our deposit of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, or until the redemption of those who are God's possession, unto the praise of his glory. That's found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. So this cup of communion is given. Speaking of the bride, she is to remain a faithful virgin with her light burning. Don't you see the parallels throughout Scripture? Waiting for her man to come and to take her. And the reference to that is Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. So we see the parallels here of a heavenly marriage between Christ and his bride, the church, and the earthly marriage between a man and his woman, a woman and her man. So once we see this parallelism, especially as Christians, that is the way our lives are governed. This is why marriage has always been seen to be a holy marriage. Now, let me share something else with you, because, and this is a very important part of this, the woman takes the man's name in marriage. The man doesn't take the woman's name. Now, if this is offensive to some of these women that some of you men are attempting to marry, you made a mistake. You made a mistake. When a marriage takes place, the woman is to take the man's name. Regarding the male and female, look, God blessed them and called their name Adam. See that in Genesis chapter 5, verse 2? Continue to read along with me. And he says, And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. See, that's to be called by his name. In Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1, when we marry Jesus, we receive his name. Jesus said, I will write upon him my new name. Revelation 3:12. It is the Christian custom that the woman takes the man's name. She doesn't marry the man and retain her maiden name. Have you ever heard somebody says, do you, Sally Mae Brown Jones? And then when she says, I do, I now pronounce you Sally Mae Brown Jones Smith. No, you Sally Mae Smith. That's your name. This kind of love does not take place between a man and a woman these days. And it's because they do not understand the true covenant of a wedding or a marriage. There's now a new covenant or writing of the marriage document. It has been said, whosoever put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. We see that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 31. If there has to be a writing of divorcement, then there should be a writing of marriage, a marriage document. And it is also written, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant, Malachi 2:14. Every country that I understand, there is a certain law that has been set up regarding marriage. These should include a marriage certificate, a license, or some type of legal document. They have to do that. For those of you that unfortunately believe in the shacking up mentality, that is not a justifiable situation at all to shack up. No, there has to be a marriage document. Another scripture, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. 1 Peter 2, verse 13. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resist the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Marriage is a lifelong commitment. Lifelong. Not until I get tired of it. Not, he's injured now and he can't make love to me, so I need to be fulfilled because, see, I need that. So, no. It says, for the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. Romans chapter 7, verse 2. See, I am free to remarry because I am loose from my wife because my wife passed away. She is deceased. But you, my dear brothers, are not free. Our marriage to Jesus is a forever commitment, isn't it? For the Lord said, I'll never leave them nor forsake them, in Hebrews 13 and 5. And again we read, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5 and 8, so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. If a man has paid that dowry, if one is required, and then afterward was married by a minister or an authorized official, he does not have a legal document of marriage, they should make arrangements to get one. If not, now you may say, why? Because if not, anybody can come and take that woman and say, well, hey, she's my wife. But did you ever have a document of marriage saying that you married her legally? That this stuff is hers and yours and that you work for it? Well, no, we didn't do that. Well, then how is it that you can say that you are married? When that can't be a marriage? No way. You see what I'm talking about? This is a very, very important aspect here as we conclude our first hour of our marriage series. And as we get ready to come into the rest of this series, I want you to know that if the marriage is now taking place, if you've left your father and mother, and you're ready to set up housekeeping, because that's what we'll get into the next time. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. Genesis chapter 23 and 24. You know what this says, guys? The man no longer cleaves to his father and mother, but to his wife. The mother's job, in many respects, have been replaced by the wife's. God has put an instinct in the mother to do certain things for her son, but the wife has instincts to be the helper for the husband. When children might come home, there can't be two mothers or two fathers in the same house. There can be a great clash if this command of God is disobeyed. And this great clash is taking place, especially primarily within the African-American home these days. How can the minister preach on this? Well, he must preach on it, but the minister has to obey it himself. You cannot let your emotions run contrary to God's word. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain, or two, shall be one flesh. Matthew 19:5. God gives us this command in the Old Testament. God gives this command in two accounts of the gospel in the New Testament. And that's what we're going to get into next time as we continue this marvelous, marvelous study on marriage. This is Pastor John speaking from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California. Join me next time. God bless.